Welcome, everybody, to the Out of Chicago podcast. My name is Michael Novo, and with me this week, I have Steve Brokaw, and we are going to be talking a little bit about commercial and editorial fashion portraits. So, Steve, welcome to the podcast. We've been trying to hook up for quite some time, and finally, I've got you on here.
Yeah, welcome, Michael. Thanks for inviting me. Yeah, it was kind of tough. I was in LA last week doing some photo shoots, and so the time change made it a little bit difficult to get things organized.
You were actually doing the very thing that we're going to be talking about today. So
exactly.
So there you go. That's perfect.
11 shoots in 3 days. It was crazy.
Holy cow! In LA, all commercial.
It was commercial and editorial work. So we did some work for some bands. We'd worked for an agency. So I did some test shoots for an agency and then did a couple portrait sessions. So it was pretty busy.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. There's part of your intro right there. So you are based out of Indianapolis, which is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Chicago. And you've been a photographer now for how long?
Well, I've held a camera pretty much my entire life, but doing exactly what I'm doing now, almost exclusively for about 8 years, where I've only done this. I do some street photography just for fun. And then I've been working out of a studio for about 6 years. So probably 75% of what I do is based out of the studio and the rest is on location.
That's awesome. When you say you've been working out of a studio for 6 years, has that been your own studio or somebody else's studio?
Right. No, I have a studio here in Indianapolis. It's based in an industrial complex, and I'm just in the process of expanding it. So it's been a pretty exciting ride. So, yeah, I shoot almost exclusively out of the studio most of the time, I would say.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, so the topic today, and some of these are actually going to be like for real questions that I'm not 100% sure on the answer of. So you're just the guy to answer them.
Okay.
And people ask me, you know, what do you do when they ask me about the photography I do? I say, well, I'm a high fashion wedding and portrait photographer. It just sounds really great when I say that.
Right.
But sometimes there's so many different facets of this. There's commercial, there's editorial, you have a lifestyle. What is commercial and editorial fashion portraits?
Yeah, that's primarily what I focus on. It's almost exclusively for agencies or for models that hire me for their portfolio. So I really focus on two things, and that's editorial and commercial fashion. And it's I say it's fashion, although it's not always associated with a clothing line. And so essentially what I'm doing is anything that's commercial would be something that would end up in a catalog. So it's generally a lot of smiling. You're showing off the clothing or you're showing off a vibe, and that's considered commercial. Anything that's editorial, you're giving off a mood. So you're trying to, the fashion is a component of it, but it's not necessarily the only thing that you're focusing on. You're focusing on a vibe, like you're wearing these clothes and just because of the location you're at or the way you're posing, you know, you give off a certain vibe that somebody says, hey, I want to wear those clothes just so that I look just like that person. So it tends to be a little darker. There may not be as much focus on the clothing itself. So that's more editorial. And what you'll see in magazines generally, the higher end magazines, that's usually considered editorial fashion photography, whereas something that's in a catalog or on a billboard, that's more commercial.
So why aren't they, I guess that would lead me into my next question, or the first question is, why aren't the two sort of combined? Why in a catalog wouldn't I go for something that I would see in a high fashion magazine, especially if I'm planning on wearing this piece of clothing or something along those lines?
Well, the challenges in many cases, they do cross over. So you may have something that's commercial, but it's an editorial vibe. So if you, let's say, drive down a highway and see an advertisement for a jewelry line or store, that might be an editorial styled photograph, but it's to sell you the jewelry. So it could be considered commercial as well. So there is a lot of crossover. But the one thing I usually like to say is that if you're shooting for a magazine, and the clothing is going to be the specific look, or you're looking for a catalog and the clothing is what you're really focusing on, that's more the commercial side. But if you're bringing in elements that give it a kind of a total vibe, the whole look, and fashion is part of it. That's more editorial. So it's a lot of times they get crossed up and mixed up, but it's a word that can be used interchangeably in many cases.
Okay. So the editorial sometimes seems like there's a lot more thought and effort that goes into the style of it, even so things like the hair, the nails, you see a lot of that. So So it's, I guess you could just say, like, how do you just want to show the item, like a t-shirt shown on a person? I guess you could throw them against any backdrop and that would be more commercial.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Generally speaking. So if you're going to do a commercial shoot, it might be against a white background. You have a consistent look throughout the shoot. So you may have 10 different dresses and you don't change the backdrop at all. And you may not change the lighting, and all you're changing is the outfit. That would be a classic commercial shoot. Whereas a editorial shoot, you have between each look, you have a different, different makeup set. You have a different hair styling. You may wear different clothing. You may introduce other elements. You may use different backdrops. You may do it different parts of location. So you have each image gives off a different look.
And that sometimes, you know, it's tough to tell because I get these magazines. I get Bizarre. What else do I get? I think I've got Vogue that comes in. One or two other fashion magazines because I use them as my own like little lookbooks.
Sure.
It's sometimes actually tough to tell what it is that they're advertising because you look at it and it's like, I don't know what's being advertised. It says Gucci at the bottom. So it's like, is every single thing in this photo Gucci or is it just the purse or is it just the dress? I don't know what it is. So,
yeah, think of it this way. A lot of times that's trying to be given off is you have a mood. And so let's say that whole mood, it may be in a club or it may be in a high fashion house or maybe in an apartment, and you walk in and you see this image and you see a couple of really good looking people interacting, and there's no focus on the clothing at all, but it's got a really cool vibe. And so you say, you know, I want to be just like them. I want to look cool. I want to kind of have that same feeling. And down at the bottom, it may say Gucci or it may say a local brand. And so it's just advertising the vibe that if you wear our clothes, or you wear our, you know, have our purse or use our makeup, then I'm going to be just as cool as the people in these images. So that's more of an editorial look. Whereas if it was something where you walk in and you're looking at somebody against a white wall and it's just the dress that's being focused on, that's a commercial look.
I gotcha. Okay. That makes a lot more sense. So when I see those Gucci ads, they might not care to necessarily show me one specific thing. What they want me to do is to feel the lifestyle.
Yes.
And to say, like, just you want to get this whole thing and then you're going to be this type of person.
Right, exactly. And, you know, it's a lot of times they're used interchangeably. Lifestyle is used interchangeably a lot too, where you might see somebody in a coffee shop having a cup of coffee and it's advertising a watch or a bag or a computer. You meet somebody walking in the street with big smiles on their face carrying a bunch of bags. That's a lifestyle. They're advertising the store they came out of.
Sure.
So it's really a lot of these crossover, and what you'll find is a lot of people that do this type of work, they do it all. So I do commercial work, I do editorial work. And I try not to really focus on, is this an editorial shoot or it's a commercial shoot? You know, you look at the mood board and you try to replicate what the interest is for the client. And you just go from there.
Okay. So walk me through it now. We've got a gig that's coming up, or maybe if you can you talk about any of the shoots that you did when you were,
sure,
when you were in LA? So you got booked for the gig. Actually, let's go way, way back, because some people listening to this are going to say, okay, how do I get this? I too want to be in LA on 11 gigs over 3 days. And then have requests to be on podcasts. How do I get to this lifestyle in the first place that you lead?
I started completely from scratch. I had an interest in photography from way back,
which, by the way, I see every camera that you started with behind you on the shelf. This is an audio podcast, but I see a couple Polaroids back there. I'm not even sure what I see. It's a bunch of point and shoots. Yep. You've got a mini macro, pretty big collection there.
that's only about 10% of it. I actually have every camera I ever bought. So
holy cow.
I have my original Canon TX. That was my first SLR.
Wait, you didn't actually use all those, right? Like, I was kidding about you using all those. Like, have you shot with every one I've used? You have, really?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I still use most of them. I still use film on a regular basis. I shoot Polaroids during every shoot. I took a film camera out with me with LA and was shooting some film just for giggles. So,
get out of here.
Yeah, I've used every camera out
there. That's crazy. How many cameras do you have in total? I know we're totally off topic, but how many cameras do you, if all I'm seeing in the back there is 10%, let's picture it so that the listener can understand just how many cameras you've got laying around.
Well, just Polaroids. I have 43 Polaroids.
43 Polaroids?
Yeah, from...
I have one. I'm impressed with one.
Yeah. I've got... believe it or not, they're all used. So SX70s, I've got to the 600 cameras. I have the Spectra cameras. I have the old pack cameras. I use them all.
Good God.
And then I have pretty much, some medium format Mamiyas. I have some Hasselblads. I have point and shoot Canons. I have point and shoot Nikons, Yashicas. I've got almost 300 film cameras that I just rotate them up there.
Holy cow. I have like maybe, 10, 15 of these things laying around, which I picked up from garage sales and have never shot with almost all of them. They just look good when the clients come over. But props to you on shooting every single one of those. I didn't really think that you shot every one of them.
Yep. I use them, or I have a shoot tomorrow and I'm actually trying to decide which camera I'm going to take just for fun.
That's crazy. Next time I'm passing through Indy, I'm definitely stopping in to play with some of these.
Definitely.
Very cool.
So yeah, I started off really from scratch. So I was what I would consider a street photographer and basically taking snapshots. And what I found was that I tended to migrate to taking photographs of people in the street. A lot of street portraits, the elements in the photography tended to have people. So I was always attracted to more of the human element of the photography. So I got invited to participate in a workshop about 8 years ago. And it was a local camera club that I was a member of. And it was a shoot, and they hired a couple models and set up some lighting equipment and basically walk a group of people through it. And that's the start. And I haven't looked back since. So I really just started from scratch, worked with people that I respected, read up a lot on it, and I started shooting exclusively portrait work for about 2 years. And in that case, it was basically all just for myself, for my portfolio, just for fun to learn. And then started to get a little bit more traction. And then I decided the best thing to do for me was to get into a studio, which I don't recommend for everybody, but for my genre, it worked perfectly. And it's been nonstop ever since. So I consider myself a professional, but I don't do this full time. I have a full-time day job. And so I do about 20 to 30 hours a week in the photography. So at least every 2 to 3 times a week in the evenings, and then every weekend. And then usually about once a quarter to every 2 months now, I will take a couple of days off and travel someplace and do a shoot that's organized. And that's what I did this past week in LA. So I went out to LA and we had an agency we were working for, and I did a series of test shoots, which was just for the model's portfolio, and did a shoot for 2 clothing lines, and did a shoot, a lifestyle shoot for a fairly well-known person, and then a new band, and then an existing band. So did a whole different genres, and it was probably half of it was done, or 3/4 of it was done in studio, and the rest was on location. So it was just bam, 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 bam. We just knocked it out. It was fun.
Are people or agencies looking for you to be able to be versatile and shoot both on location and in studio and really know how to work in mixed lighting conditions pretty well, or can you just focus on one or the other?
You really need to have everything. I tend to focus in studio, so my work tends to have a consistent type of look. And so I have a certain lighting setup that I use, so I can go into the studio and replicate that over and over and over again. However, You have to have versatility, as and I try to do this. So I do a lot of test shooting myself, where you go out and use speed light, you use natural light. And so, as an example, this past week, the last shoot was actually on location in LA, and it was in it was on a piece of property. And we had the gals dressed in a house, and they came down. And I went with another photographer here in town, and he did all the lighting work, and I did all natural light. So
this is in LA. Like you had
this was okay. in LA,
and the photographer who was with you there, is that a local photographer that you hired, or was this from the agency?
No, it's a local photographer. He and I've shot together before. He's another studio photographer, has a studio here in town, and we've worked together a number of times. And so we decided, because of the volume of work, we'd go out together and split the costs. And so we went out, and he did one set. So he would do all the studio lighting on location, and I did all natural lighting. So we planned out in advance what we were doing. So if I was only focusing on studio lighting and knowing how to set my camera based upon the lighting, and I was going out then and doing natural light, it wouldn't have come off.
And is there any hope for like the somebody's going to be sitting and listening and saying, you know, I'm just very nervous about getting into learning like strobes and light, and I really enjoy that golden hour. Is there really any possibility of doing this as a just an ambient or natural light photographer?
Yeah, there is. I don't think having studio work and studio equipment is critical. It adds, it makes you more versatile. So as an example, if you go to a modeling agency, if you look at a standard modeling agency, so I'll use like BMG, which is up in Chicago. So if you look at their site and you look at their main board, and you look at the images that they have of the models, probably half of them will be studio work. So they'll be the standard portraits, well-lit, even lighting, and then there'll be some natural stuff. So there'll be lifestyle work. So you can do part of it. So in almost all situations, it's not going to be one photographer. They'll have like 10 different photographers in their portfolio. And so they might look at me just for the portrait work, just in studio, and then next to it is a image of somebody else that did out in the park, and just with natural light, but it was a different photographer. So you can focus on a few things, and just as long as you do it very, very well and practice it, you don't have to know it all. So again, most of my work is primarily studio work. So if somebody wanted natural work, I'm probably not going to be the first person they look to, but I have it in my portfolio.
Sure.
But if they want somebody who's primarily a natural shooter that does outdoor work, they're probably in, but then they want studio work, they're not going to look to them. They're going to look to somebody like me. So I've always found that you need to have a few things that you specialize in and really nail that hard and become very good at it. And don't try to do everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I've discovered that, you know, my thing has become light painting and weddings, and I focus in on that. And that's kind of my like little niche there. And that's what I've started teaching on as well. And so I don't, you know, I just make sure that I keep practicing that aspect of it and evolving it as much as I can. So definitely that applies, I think, to almost any aspect of photography. If you could become known for that look, that's fantastic. So I'm listening to this podcast. This is sort of what I want to do. Where am I starting? Do I go to agencies first? Am I starting on Model Mayhem? What? I don't know what to do from this point going forward.
Well, let's say you're starting out and you want to do model photography. You want to photograph people, or you want to try a portrait session or a fashion session. The first thing to do is just find a friend. So find somebody that you're comfortable with, it may be your next door neighbor, it may be one of your work colleagues.
My neighbors think I'm creepy, so that won't work out too well. I need somebody else other than that.
Or, you know, you could hire a makeup artist and ask them to hire the model. So you get somebody that you know, that you're comfortable with, and don't worry about directing them. Don't worry about how they look. Focus on the lighting. Focus on the look. And that's what I would do first. So get comfortable with your style first. The other option is to hire a professional model and just make sure they know from the beginning that, you know, I'm brand new to this and, you know, I'd like to, you know, do some experimentation with my work and, you know, could you just pose for me? So, but what I find and what I've recommended most people is just start out with somebody you know and just hire them, give them an idea of what you want to do. I want to go to a park and I want to do some work in the shadows and I want to do some work with lighting, or I want to do some work with my speed light, or I want to work in an apartment with just some lamps and start that way. And then slowly start developing your skills and developing your portfolio. And once you have a few really good images, then at that point, then you can start reaching out to people who might be a little bit more professional. But unfortunately, once you start talking to people that are professionals, it starts becoming expensive. You generally have to pay them.
You're talking about professional models now.
Professional right. models, okay. Yeah. So if you're going to do any sort of work that requires a professional model through an agency, you're going to have to pay them. If you're brand new, they're not. There's nothing that you're going to generally be able to offer them where they're going to do it for trade.
Right.
So what I do is I do a, for testing purposes, I have a day every week, Thursday night. So tomorrow night, I have a testing night. So I just kind of put it out there to everybody that, you know, if you want to come in and try working on your posing, you want to try a different look.
Is this every Thursday you do this?
Every Thursday from 6 to 8:30. So I've been doing that now for about 6 months and it's been great. So what it does gives me the opportunity to do is to test myself. So I test a new lighting setup. I test a new look, a camera setting, a different camera. And so it's a mutual testing and that's free. So I don't pay the model. The model doesn't pay me.
Do you have hair, makeup, or they do their own thing for that?
Generally speaking, I bring in a makeup artist about half the time, and it's a test for them too. So they're trying a new look, they're trying new makeups. It's not always the case because the focus is not on, you know, putting something out that you can put on your Instagram page. It's usually something just to test. So you need to start doing that too. So if you're brand new and you're starting out, do a lot of testing. Don't expect to get paid. Go out and just practice your work and develop your style, whether that's a commercial look, whether it's a headshot work, whether it's lifestyle, whether it's portrait. Develop what you like doing and then just hit it hard. And then you'll get to a point where somebody might reach out to you and say, hey, I really like your work. Can you shoot some photos for me? And then that's how it builds. And that's basically been my path to the point now where I'm regularly hired to shoot for people's portfolios. But even then, I still do a lot of testing. And I find that it's something that for me, it works out perfectly. It's a good balance.
Yeah. And with these tests, don't forget, you're also sending the images to the model and to the makeup artist or hair or whoever.
You are. Yeah. Generally speaking, if it's a test and you're not getting paid, it's trade. And so in exchange for my services, I get a model that I get to shoot. If the model for the trade of her time or his time, she's getting images or he's getting images. So you have an agreement in advance, and that's very important. You agree, okay, you'll get 5 images from this or you'll get 10 images from this, and then you stick to it. And so if you say, I'll get them to you in 2 weeks, you get them to him in 2 weeks. And then you develop a relationship and you develop a reputation in the industry. And then people start seeking you out if you're good. There's a lot of people out there with cameras. Everybody says they're a photographer now. So whether it's wedding photographer or lifestyle photographer or senior photographer, you can go down to Costco and buy yourself for $500 a really good camera. Yeah. And, you know, you can say, I'm a photographer. That's great. You could do a very good job.
Yeah.
But if you want to develop a style and get it beyond just, you know, just the standard point and shoot type stuff, you really need to work on your craft.
Yeah. And I've seen guys come really, really far working with models. it's amazing at how much you can actually learn from working with either a professional or semi-professional model, but somebody who's worked with a number of photographers, because they actually will sometimes give you advice or tips, or they walk in and they say, this is my good side of the face. And it was from a model that I first learned what a good side of the face is and why.
Right.
I was like, oh, I get it. And shooting into the part and things like that. I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I get it. Like, and so it's amazing at how much a model can teach you.
It's so important to have a model that knows what they're doing if you want to learn, because what happens is that, like you said, a really professional model will know how to pose because that's what they're being paid for. They know how to emote. They know how to use facial expressions. They know how to turn. They know how to use the lighting. They know how to open up their face. They know how to interact with the camera. They know that if you fire off the camera, then you move your pose. They know how to work very well with the makeup artist and the hairstylist. It's so important. But that doesn't mean you have to hire a professional model. You can, if you're just starting out, it can be anybody. And just as long as you take it for that and you don't expect that you're going to generate, you know, fabulous work, and you're using it as a test, it's just as good. So that's what I did really for the first 2 to 3 years, was a lot of testing, a lot of stumbling around, a lot of practicing. But now it's to the point where I still do it. I still test a lot, but it's not as much as I used to.
Sure. Sure. If you, now I know I'm going to stop by a random Thursday. I'm just going to be driving through India. I'll be like, hey, here's my, I'm here for,
come on in.
Here for my headshot. So these images that I'm sending to the models, are, am I watermarking them? Are they in high resolution? What am I, how do I send them over? Are they edited?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the standard process is that you send the way that I do it, which is what a lot of people do, is that you send a very low res image in a gallery. It can be via Dropbox. It can be on a gallery. It can be in a zip file, however you want to do it. And it's usually very heavily watermarked. It basically says something like, for selection only. And it's like the old contact sheets.
This is just they're picking them out at this point, or you've got them hosted on a site, or you might have sent them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they used to be popular to send a disc over and they could view them, but now it's probably done online.
Yeah, I don't think most computers even have CD-ROMs anymore, so it's almost all done online. I've got a gallery that I've set up on SmugMug, and it's just a pretty simple commercial site. I build a gallery. I dump images that my first cut of selection, so I'll go through, let's say, 300 shots from an hour shoot. I'll cut it down to maybe 75, and so take out everything where the eyes are closed, where you know, maybe the look isn't quite right, take out duplicates. So let's say we cut it down to 75. I just throw a watermark on it, says for, you know, unprocessed, for selection only. I'll upload them to that site. I'll put a password on it, and I send that to the, in a Word document to the model, and say you can select the number of images that we've agreed to. And I usually give them up to 30 days to do that. And then they send me the number. So they say, we want number 1, 10, 15, 27, mm-hmm. and 6. And then what I'll do at that point is I will post-process them. And then once I post-process them, that I tell them it's usually going to take 30 days. And then once that's done, I send them to them high-res versions, unwatermarked. And because it's a test, they can do with them what they want. You know, I don't license them. They're there. They're for them to use. And what we generally do is that they put them on, use them for their website, or use them on Facebook, or they use them on Instagram.
Do you require credit when they're actually using them?
You know, it's a gentleman's and a agreement, basically. I do send out what's called a call sheet. So in that call sheet in advance, it basically says, this is when the meeting is going to be, this is the time, this is the clothing I want you to bring, this is who's going to be there, this is a location. And in there, I usually have a set of terms and conditions. And in the terms and conditions, I spell out everything. And so they have that agreement in advance. So when I send them the images, I generally ask in that term sheet that if you post them online, you give the makeup artist, you give myself credit, because remember, this is a trade type of arrangement. And so when they post it online, they 90% of the time will put credits on it because they want the eyes on it. Most of this is done via social media now. And if they put my name on it, then it adds on to it and they get more eyes on. And if I'm linked to it, I get their views too. So that's generally what most people do now. Every once in a while, you get somebody that doesn't tag you. Well, you know, that happens and you just don't work with them again.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things that, that you learn in the industry. I learned this from a model as well. So how I learned to give models photos quickly is that you would do these shoots and there would be many photographers there and you might pay a little bit. And sometimes the models even pay a little bit to to be there. But you know, and I'm usually pretty decent about sending the models the images. And I noticed that, you know, if I get them to them within a day or two, it's real easy to get on their shoot list and give them a holler the next time because they remember very easily who sent them photos and not just who sent them, but sent them very quickly versus a month later.
Yeah. I think if you're starting out and you want to hire somebody and you're at a workshop like that, or you're at a shoot around, it's very important to be very quick in your turnaround because the worst thing to happen is to get the reputation that you take images, but that you don't turn them around.
Right.
You know, I'll be sitting there talking to the model during the makeup session and they'll be talking about, you know, I did this shoot with this photographer in this town and, you know, it was 3 months ago and I'm still waiting for images. And I don't want that reputation because it's in this industry, it's all about your reputation and people talk quite a bit. I want to have the reputation that, you know, I'm reliable and that I'm businesslike and that if I say it's going to be in 30 days, you get it in 30 days. So generally speaking, I will give a couple of quick images pretty quickly within a week, and those go up on social media. But it takes usually a week to 2 weeks for them to get the selection sheet. And then once they come back to me and tell me, okay, I want these images, it takes it can take up to 30 to 45 days to turn around. But that's the agreement in advance. And I think that's important. Again, what is the agreement? And as long as you stick to that agreement, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems to be what as soon as you have everything and everybody's understanding of it, then it's totally fine because nobody's going to know. And they might not even remember from the last time, even though you've worked with somebody before, you might still want to remind them that like, hey, remember it was 30 days last time. It's going to be 30 days this time,
right?
Same as before, but I promise you'll have them by then.
Yeah. Well, every shoot, I put together a call sheet and I think that's really critical. I don't think everybody does that. So even if I've shot a model 5 times previously and we're going to do it again, they get a new call sheet and that specifically spells out the specifics of that shoot. And it may be the exact same look as before, but it's still get a call sheet. Even these tests that I do, once I sign up somebody to do a test, they get a call sheet. So I think that's really important. And again, it's part of the reputation. And once you develop that reputation, it'll be easier and easier to hire people.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I'm going to try and see if we can dig up a sample call sheet to put up in our show notes here that magically will appear after Brian, our amazing editor, has put it all together. So we'll see if we could put that in there for you to take a look at. Because yeah, when it's written down and you don't even remember sometimes I promise one model one thing and another model another thing. You got to remember that a month or two down the road too. So yeah.
Well, it's critical because for me, I get booked out about 2 months in advance. So, you know, I do leave open spaces to shoot, to fill in, but primarily because I'm not doing this full time, I do fill up my schedule quickly. And so I'll book something like I just booked a shoot tonight for August 10th. And
yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to be putting down the details and sending out a call sheet fairly quickly. And then I have a way of storing those and keeping them in sequential order. And so as it comes closer to the day, I'll look that up and say, okay, I'm shooting this shoot on this week and this is the look I'm going to do. And if I didn't do that, it'd be hard to remember.
Okay. Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. It's all about staying organized.
It's even
more so with weddings where you're booked out a year and a half in advance out sometimes. So yeah. I'll take two months, piece of cake. I can remember that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm glad I'm not doing weddings. I can't handle that.
That's a different ball game there.
It is.
So I've got my portfolio now. Let's say I've been shooting for a year or two. I've done a bunch of these TI. So the industry terms that you might see if you're on sites like Model Mayhem are TFP or TFCD, basically time for CD, although...
Time.
Yeah.
Time for something. Yeah, so...
Yeah.
It's a trade TF, TFP. Right. So you're trading your time for something, and that something is always images.
Yeah. And so I've built that up now. What's my next step? You said there's, is it BMG, the agency in Chicago? I'm in Chicago. So would I reach out to them mm-hmm. after this and say, like, here's my portfolio? And how do I reach out? Call, phone, email? Do I tweet them, Instagram them? There's so many ways to reach out nowadays.
Yeah. Generally speaking, calling or showing up at the door like you might have done 10 years ago, you don't do that anymore. You still can, but it's generally only if you have a reputation that you can walk into a place and you have that reputation behind you. Generally speaking, the way to do this, at least in my experience, is through social media. So what you can do is you can go on to Instagram or you can go on to Facebook and you can send them a message and say, hey, I'm, you know, my name is such and such. Here's my portfolio. Here's some examples of my images. I'd be interested in testing with some of your new models or some of your new faces. I'm based here, and just sit back. 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get any feedback.
You mean like you're just sending them like through Facebook, like you find agency X and you message them like straight on Facebook?
Yeah, I've done that several times. What you also do is you go to their sites. So let's say you're looking at Instagram and you see an agency and you want to work with them. So what you'll do is you'll go to, they almost always put their site, the URL. And so you go to that and there'll be a form, like a contact me type of form, where they'll have the name of the booker and you can either send them an email, whatever they prefer. But 9 times out of 10, you can just go onto social media and send a Facebook note or send an instant message through Instagram and say, same thing. Here's my contact information. Here's my link to my site. I'd be interested in doing a test with you. I've learned, again, professionally, I send out a message, usually wait a couple weeks. If I don't hear anything, I'll send something back out. And if I don't hear anything, I'll just leave it because they're obviously not interested in me or my style, or they're too busy. But you'll get occasionally contacts and they'll say, yeah, sure. If we've got this model in your hometown that's interested in a test shoot, let's set something up. Or if you're in our town, give us a call and let us know the date and we'll set something up. And that's basically what I did in LA. There was an agency that I'd wanted to work with. They had a really good vibe going on. They had a lot of really good faces in their portfolio. A colleague of mine in the Midwest had worked with them before. So I just reached out to them through social media and then got their email address and contacted them. And within a few days, they contacted me and said, since you're coming out to LA, give us the date range that you're going to be here and we'll put you in contact with the new models. And I did 7 shoots with them. So I rented a studio in LA that I was familiar with. And we scheduled times and blocks and just ran them through. So I hired a makeup artist and had the studio. And they sent me the mood board. They said, these are the looks we want to do. And so I followed up with them just the other night and said, okay, we did the shoot. Everything went well. And I'll be sending them the images in the next couple of weeks. So that was all. I've never met them. I didn't meet the booker. I didn't meet the agent. I've done it all socially. And it's been, that's how a lot of it's done nowadays.
Wow. Wow. So, okay. Let's take me through this process. You have from being in Indy to out in LA, you've done your shoot, so you've built up a little bit of a reputation. You've worked with agencies. Okay. Then you are going out to LA already for a project. Is that correct? Like you have something that's planned with another photographer?
Right. So one of the local photographer does a lot of work with bands. So he had a couple of shoots tentatively lined up and it was going to be around the same time. So we said, look, let's split the cost and go out together. And I was going to shoot the agency work. So basically what we did was to give the agency more images we shot together. So we set up 2 setups in the studio, and as the models would come in, they'd get the makeup done. He would shoot them and then come over to me and I would shoot them. And then we'd switch and do different lighting setups. The model would change clothing. We'd do it again. So it was a way just to make it move faster, so there's no dead time, and so the agent got more work that way.
Got it.
And then when we went to the bands and the lifestyle shoot, the portrait lifestyle shoot, it was the exact opposite. He had organized those, so he was the primary shooter. So I did, in this case, like with the one band, he did all the lighting work. I did all the black and white in natural light. So it was just, we had an agreement in advance how to do that. And so he had his plans, I had my plans, and it just came together on the same dates, and it just happened to work perfectly. Either it was going to be a complete disaster, or it worked out well, and it just so happened to work out
well. Yeah, I mean, 11 shoots over 3 days, that's a lot can go wrong with that.
It could.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that's really important about this industry, and it's no different than probably wedding photography too, is that you have to be prepared to add a lot of time in for people showing up late, people going to the wrong location, people flaking. It's a big problem in this industry where, especially for new models, they don't show up, and you may have a makeup artist already lined up and ready to go, and the model doesn't show up, or the model shows up and the makeup artist doesn't show up. That's part of it. And, but in this case, it all worked out well. And so the nice thing about this was that we were working for this one clothing line, and, we didn't get finished everything we wanted to do just simply because we ran out of time. And, so they've invited us back. And so we're going to probably be going back in a few months to, do another look for them. So, you know, it's reputation, it's being available, and it's, delivering good work.
Yeah, that's very cool. And all of this, is this done on your own dime? Is the agency paying? How are the, where do the costs or profits, are you charging for this, or models get, like, what's the financial breakdown of all of this if I want to start traveling for gigs like what you were doing?
Yeah, it really depends. In most cases, the first time you shoot with an agency, it's probably going to be a free test. So you're showing them your work. If you've got a reputation and you would tell them the second time, there's going to be a cost associated with it. And if you give them good work, they're more than happy to pay that in most cases. But in this situation, we went out for two reasons. One is that a couple of the gigs were paid, but a couple of them were for trade, and we had built up a certain amount of money to go out there, so I had planned to go out anyway. And so the trip basically paid for itself, but I didn't make, you know, a ton of money doing this. It was basically an opportunity to get my name out, to work with some new models, and then in the future, the agency that I work with, hopefully, you know, I'll be able to work with them to get again. And also, what's nice is that if I have other commercial jobs that I do now in that part of the city, I've got an agency I can work with that knows my reputation, and it'll be easier to hire the models in.
Got it.
So here locally, because I've got a reputation here in town, it's much easier. So somebody will reach out to me and say, you know, I'd like to do this type of look. I want to do some headshots for a catalog, or I want to do some headshots for my portfolio. Those are all always paid.
Okay.
So
paid meaning you get paid for those.
That's correct. Okay. I have a rate sheet that's has three tiers based upon the type of work. And so except for my test work that I do on Thursdays, and a few TFs that I'll do just because I'm interested in working for the particular model, or we're going to do it for a magazine, everything's paid.
Got it. And so, and I keep trying to end the show, but yeah, I keep thinking of more questions as you bring up topics. Let's say that I reached out to an agency. They said, okay, let's do a test shoot, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. So now I've given them the images and everything is great. Am I typically going to hear from them again for another test shoot? Or do I reach out to them again and say, hey guys, I did a test shoot for you, want me back again? Or what's the next step there?
I would say 75 to 80% of the time, you have to be the one that does the follow-up. So again, there are lots of really high-quality photographers in every city. And so if you want to...
My mom told me I'm the best, so I...
Yeah, okay, there you go. Oh, you got to love moms.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what I would do is that I would be the one that, at least in my case, I would be the one that would be following back up with the agency. So if I was going to go back out to LA, I would contact the agency, say, I'm going to be back in town this week. Here's my rate sheet. And if you have any new models that are interested or existing models that will work on the portfolio, I have this studio lined up and let's coordinate something. I would say that unless you are a really well-known photographer that has a very, very good reputation, in most cases, the photographer is the one that's going to have to be reaching out to the agency. It's usually not the other way around.
Got it. Okay. So you basically, it's almost in the same sense of when doing press releases, and I know that's a totally different topic, but when you write up a press release, the whole idea is to make it as easy for the journalist or the publication or whoever to publish it. So you write it up with quoting yourself if you have to, and you pretty much are handing them something ready to go on a platter, because obviously they're probably very busy and they have better things to do.
Right.
So, okay.
Lots.
Yeah. And then eventually you become a big time, big name, and then they say, hey, I know that Stephen Brokaw guy, and I'm going to reach out to him.
Maybe in the future. Let's see. Let's hope.
All right. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
Stephen Brokaw, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the show. I know you were off in LA, Michael. And we tried to connect while you were on the road, yep. But I figured you were busy, so I didn't pester you too much. So now that you're back in Indy,
I appreciate it.
It was great to have you on. A lot of information, honestly. I think we could double the length of the show, and I would still be coming up with a ton of questions. So if somebody does have questions or wants to see a little bit about you and your work, what are some of the best ways to reach out to you?
The easiest way is through social media. My portfolio site is I keep it updated. So it's www.stevenbrokawphotography. Let me spell that. It's StevenBrokaw photography.com. I keep my blog on there as well, and it has all my contact and social media links. I'm very active in Instagram and on Facebook. I'm very interactive. So you can link to me, like me, follow me, and that's the best way to get a hold of me. And if you want to, you can come join me out of Chicago this summer in June, and I'm giving 3 workshops, and that'll be a blast.
Yeah, and a good plug there. I was just about to talk about the actual class that you're going to be teaching. Right. I'll be there, so I'll definitely stop by. I know we chatted a little bit at the portrait conference over the winter, but
right.
Didn't hang out too much, so I'd be very curious to see how your workshop goes. So you might just see me peeking in there a little bit.
It's basically going to be a start to finish. I'm bringing in a couple of live models. I'm bringing in a couple of models from Chicago area, and we're going to do lighting setups, and we're going to have a presentation for about an hour, and the rest is going to be hands-on shooting and walking you through different lighting setups, different types of looks. And so if you're interested in it, whether you're brand new or just want to try to get into this genre, that's would be a very good workshop to participate in.
Very cool. I'm bringing my camera, you're bringing the lighting, and I will learn plenty from you then.
Sounds great.
Stephen Brokaw, thank you so much for your time, and I will see you next month.
All right. See you around.
Take care.
See ya.
All right, here's our teeny little bonus segment in case you didn't get enough on the last one. And I started chatting with Stephen off the air about photo studio names. And one of the key things, especially once you get to the commercial level of photographer. So if you're the portrait photographer, you want to do newborns or something along those lines, this doesn't necessarily apply to you. But if you want to go onto the scene where you're working with professional commercial people, we were talking about photography studio names and how that's important. So Stephen has StephenBrokawPhotography.com. And what is your take if I was to have like FlyingButterflyPhotography.com, something like that? It doesn't have to be butterflies.
Yeah, I think it's a personal choice. And it's the same type of argument you could get into with watermarking your images. But in almost every situation that I'm associated with and that I see, is that you always want to use your name. It can be a component of it. But in almost all situations, you want your name to be associated with you. You are the brand, not Purple Butterfly, not cute puppies. You are the one that's the person out there doing the images. So what I've learned is I'm consistent throughout. So if you go onto Facebook, you go on Instagram, you go on to my website, everything has my name in it. It's got the same picture. You know, it's me. I don't put a picture of a photograph that I've taken. You can use a logo, but you are the brand.
Can it be you with a camera? Because we're often told, like, you, the photographer, need to be with a camera in your hands in that profile photo.
No, that's the personal choice. I like just to see the person. The other thing, and here's the other thing too, for me personally, and I think this is important for other male photographers, is that when you're have a studio shoot or a location shoot, you've got a model, you've got a makeup artist, you've got a hairstylist in many cases, they don't know who you are. And if you have a picture of a butterfly as your avatar or your logo, and you come in, they don't know who you are. But if you have your picture and it's you and it's an updated picture, not something from 20 years ago, as soon as they walk into the studio, they know exactly who I am.
Sure.
And so it's just something so that it makes it easier for my clients. So I found that using your name is important. And that way it's also very easy to find you through Google searches. It's easier to link everything together. And so I see a lot of people use things like you said, purple butterflies photography. But wait, what are you? You a wedding photographer? Do you photograph puppies? Do you photograph models? What do you do?
Are you the photographer? And I've got to say, even though I'm not really in the commercial like business that much. I mean, I do corporate stuff, but I used to be Novo Photography. So I'm Michael Novo. I used to be Novo Photography, but then I would still get question. I know, but I would still get the question, people saying like, so wait, are you going to be my photographer or is it going to be somebody else? So I finally was like, okay, it's going to be Michael Novo Photography. Right. And that's pretty much it. So yeah, definitely very important there. And I know we started chatting about this offline, but I felt that it was an important enough topic to sort of click the record button again, because this is what, when you first start, like you build your entire logo and your brand around that. And then it would suck to find out like, oh, I built, you know, xyzstudios.com. And it's like, oh, they want to actually know my real name.
Yeah, definitely.
So, okay. Well, thank you again, Stephen. And this time I'll for real let you go this time.
Okay.